Foul Ball Area brings you more interviews.
We come to win at every game. We just play the game and have fun.
More analysis.
It's top notch. It's exactly what you want to do. Any opportunity that you get to score a run, you have to take advantage of it.
And more excitement than anywhere else.
I'm excited. You should be too. It's going to be fun.
Stay up to date with all of your RCBL action with the Foul Ball Area podcast every Wednesday at rcbobaseball.com. Welcome to the latest episode of Foul Ball Area, the official podcast of the Rockingham County Baseball League. I'm Matthew Atkins. Nick Stevens is with me again this week as we're going to bring you up to speed on all things going on in the Rockingham County Baseball League. Nick, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's a good day. I got in my car, drive out here, and Garth Brooks was on the radio, so then I popped in my Garth Brooks CD for the rest of the drive, and it's a good way to start the morning.
I didn't get home until 2 a.m. last night, so it's a pretty rough morning
for
me.
Yeah, Norfolk Tides game. You drove all the way home after the game last night?
Yeah, originally from Suffolk, Virginia, but they had a doubleheader last night, and I love covering Orioles prospects, so went down there and checked out their doubleheader and came right back home afterwards.
Who were they playing?
They were playing the Gwinnett Stripers.
Okay.
So I actually got to see Ronald Acuna last night.
Because he's injured,
start.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made a rehab start. That was pretty cool to see him.
Well, I'm a Braves fan, so I like Acuna and Gwinnett Stripers. I like that they changed their name. I don't like it when the minor league teams have all the same name as their pro teams.
Their logo's pretty cool. That's one of the coolest things about minor league baseball, those outrageous logos they have in team names.
So we're going to get into some RCBL action. There's not a whole lot to talk about this week. At the end of last week, we had a couple of rainouts Thursday and Friday night. Every game got rained out, and if my count is correct, I think we're at 26 total rainouts through just a month of the season. That's crazy. This weather has gotten really annoying at this point.
It seems like it's every day now. And I went back home, and I was telling my dad about this last night when we were at the game, and telling him about all the rainouts and everything. I was like, oh, it hadn't rained in like 3 weeks down here. Must be nice.
Yeah, seriously.
We're going to have a 15-game regular season schedule at this point.
Well, I joked earlier in the season that the way it's going, we're going to end up playing the RCBL Finals around the same time that the World Series will be played.
Probably.
If the rainouts keep going the way they are. But we did have a pretty big weekend. Saturday night, we had the RCBO All-Star Game at Buck Bowman Park out here at Clover Hill. And that whole event was kicked off with the Home Run Derby, pitted the best home run hitters in the league against each other in a three-round competition. And Tyler Bocock from Bridgewater stole the show in the first round, hit 9 home runs in the first round.
Yeah, he looked really comfortable out there. A lot of them right over the scoreboard in left field over there at Buck Bowman Park. I thought he was going to run away with it, but Kyle Matthews from Montezuma ended up stealing the show.
Kyle Matthews came back, won the home run derby. I think he defeated Cameron Stanley in the final round. Cameron Stanley from the Elkton Blue Sox. But Tyler, he hit 9 in the first round, and then I'm not sure how many he hit in the next round, but his dad, Mike, the commissioner, he was talking about, I think he just wore himself out after the first round, hitting 9 home runs, and came out and could barely swing the bat in the second round. But pretty good home run derby to watch at Buck Bowman Park. It was a fun way to kick off the night for the 2018 All-Star Game. And then after that, we had the East versus West All-Star Game. Logan Morrison got the start for the West versus Chris Locke of the Elkton Blue Sox getting the start for the East. And then the West ended up just pounding the East 9-1 to win the 2018 All-Star Game. What stood out to you from Saturday night's game?
I think my biggest takeaway was Bridgewater pitchers. I feel like every new pitcher that came in for the West, it was Derek Shiflett and then Luke Foss. I think they had 4 or 5 pitchers line up, and I counted because I kept the stat sheet there. 4 pitchers threw 1-2-3 innings. They're in that All-Star game. And 5 of them, sorry, 4 of them are Bridgewater pitchers. So I think they really stole the show. And then even offensively with Gray Scherfe had a couple hits. So Bridgewater, I think they're starting to heat up at the right time too.
I was talking to Carl Magenhoff for a little bit towards the end of the game and saying that the All-Star game on Saturday night kind of was a representation of how the season has gone so far, with the West being so dominant. You know, look at the teams in the West. You got Broadway, Bridgewater, Clover Hill, the 3 best teams in the league. And then the East, I don't think any team is above 500.
No.
And that's just how the game went on Saturday night. The West was just dominant over the Eastern Division teams.
Yeah, I think the East only had 5 base hits the whole night. So dominant pitching staff all the way around for the West Side.
Kyle Matthews, who won the Home Run Derby, ended up winning the All-Star Game MVP. He went 2-for-2 in Saturday night's game with an RBI and a run scored for the Western Division team. And after the game, I caught up with Kyle, so we've got that interview for you right now. Congrats on winning first the Home Run Derby and then the All-Star Game MVP. How's that feel winning both in one night?
Yeah, it feels great. I mean, it was a good day for baseball. Good to be out here. The fans were great, so couldn't ask for anything better.
What's the difference, you know, hitting home runs in a game and then coming out here and hitting the Home Run Derby?
The Home Run Derby, you're kind of expecting it to be up. There's, you know, it's just going to be a fastball in there. And then in the game, you know, a pitcher's got three, four pitches that he can locate. So it's just a little bit different. It's more of a see and react kind of thing. So there's a little bit of difference in it.
Do you usually consider yourself a power hitter, or was it kind of different to be considered for this type of thing?
Yes and no. I think I just look for the count. If the count's in my favor, then I might try to put a little bit of something on it. But I really just try to get in there and not think about a whole lot and just try to square the baseball up and see what happens.
And then All-Star Game MVP, is that the kind of performance you expected out of tonight?
Yeah, I was a little off guard. I mean, everybody played well, so I'm just excited that we were able to take the trophy home. Got the W. So it was a good all-around team game there.
What's your mentality going into a game like the All-Star Game? I mean, you take it seriously or just kind of have fun with it or what?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's an honor to be here and represent Montezuma. And so, yeah, I take it seriously, and everyone else here does too. So, and it's good. I mean, we know a lot of people on both teams, so it's the competition is very good too. So everybody's really excited to come out and play.
All right, thank you.
All right, man, absolutely. Thanks.
So that was Kyle Matthews of the Montezuma Braves. He won the Home Run Derby and All-Star Game MVP. Pretty big night. That'd be a fun day, a fun weekend winning both of those awards.
Yeah, that's got to give you a lot of confidence, too, going into the second half of the season.
So that is all that we had on Saturday night. On Sunday night, we were supposed to have the RCBL Futures versus Valley High School Seniors All-Star Game, also out here at Buck Bowman Park, but the rain came through the area, and that game got rained out. They were going to try to play it. Chris Kofer and Andrew Armstrong were working on the field for a couple hours trying to get it ready, but they weren't going to be able to get it ready in time. So they called off the game, and it's been rescheduled for next Sunday at 1 o'clock, still at Buck Bowman Park. So the Futures game will be played. It will just be next Sunday at 1 o'clock out here at Clover Hill. On Monday night, I was out at the Virginia High School Coaches Association All-Star Game at JMU. That was a pretty cool game. The best high school players from around the state of Virginia. There were a couple of local players, Tristan Eppard, Jacob Day, and Waring Garber, all representing the Shenandoah Valley and the RCBL in Monday night's game. It was a fun game out there. I was broadcasting that one with Mike Bocock, then Andrew Armstrong stepped in for a couple of innings. So it was a fun game. I think Tomas Sanchez from Dinwiddie High School won the MVP award in that game. He was 3-for-4 with an RBI. Pretty good game. Some of those guys are going to JMU, so we'll see them around here locally. Some of those guys are going to Ferrum, some guys going to VMI. So a lot of great baseball talent in the state of Virginia showcased at JMU last night. We did have one RCBL game on Monday night. It was Clover Hill hosting Montezuma. The Bucks ended up winning that game 3-2 in the 10th inning. And I'm kind of sad that I missed this game because at the end of the 5th inning, they had a cow milking contest. I don't know if you saw the video.
I saw the video. That's always the best game of the year. I know when you put out the story, the All-Star Game story, this Mark Arrington, I think, replied online. He said, in what other league can you say the hitter hit a double off the foul line hanging in left field? And I was like, well, you know, Monday night they're going to milk a cow in the middle of the 5th inning up at Clover Hill. But that's just what makes the county league so great and unique.
It is. I mean, there's just so many unique things going on, like the telephone wires hanging over left and right field at Buck Bowman Park, or the telephone pole up in left field, the cow milking contest at the end of the 5th inning. What I love about this is it wasn't even after the game. It was after the 5th inning. So in the middle of the game, they just stopped the game and have a cow milking contest between the two teams. That's what gets me about it.
I mean, what else can you say? I mean, I love every ballpark like that has a perk. I mean, even if you go into Montezuma, I know one of my favorite stories of watching a game out at Montezuma, and a bunch of little kids showed up on little mini horses. They roll up in the outfield, sit there, watch the game, and then just roll off again. And it's like, no one bats an eye because, you know, county league.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. You never know what you're going to see at a county league ballpark. But Clover Hill defeated Montezuma 3-2 in 10 innings on Monday night at Buck Bowman Park.
Last night, Tuesday night, we had three games in action. We actually had three games actually played. There was no rain in the forecast. Rain did not get in the way. So we had three games in action last night. The Broadway Bruins, first place team, taking on the Elkton Blue Sox. Elkton won that game 4-1 over the Bruins, thanks in part to a three-run home run from Lee Carneal. So Elkton defeated Broadway 4-1 last night. Stewart's Draft was hosting the Grotto's Cardinals. The Diamondbacks went on to win that game 15-1 in seven innings, won by the Slaughter Rule. Ryan Cooper reached base in every plate appearance last night, and he closed out the game on the mound with two strikeouts in the seventh inning. So a big win for Stewart's Draft over Grotto's last night. And then the third game that we had, Clover Hill was at Bridgewater. The Bucks taking on the Reds. Clover Hill won that game 12-6. It was a close game until the fifth inning. Then Clover Hill scored three runs in the fifth to take a 4-3 lead. They scored five more in the seventh, and it was all Bucks from then on out. They went on to win 12-6 over the Bridgewater Reds. And after the game, I caught up with Clover Hill head coach Chris Cofer.
How's it feel to get the 12-6 win over Bridgewater tonight?
Well, it's great to win here at any time. Yeah, it's great to beat Bridgewater anytime. They're a great team. They're never out of the game. Their offense is very, very strong. But you know, our guys did a good job, pitched well when we needed to, scored runs when we had opportunities to.
Does it feel a little better to beat Bridgewater with a little bit of a rivalry there, or is a win-win to you?
I mean, all the teams are so competitive right now, but there is, you know, there's history. You know, throughout the decades of Bridgewater and Clover Hill having great ball teams and playing against each other. So it's always, you know, a classy game, and it's fun to play against those guys.
What do you think made the difference tonight? Both teams had more than 10 hits, I think, and you guys had 12 runs, Bridgewater had six. What do you think made the difference?
Yeah, I mean, they try to be real aggressive, and they do a great job with their bunt defense. And, you know, they're real aggressive to try to cut the lead guy off, and, you know, just a play that didn't happen their way, and we were able to capitalize on it, and then add a couple extra after that, which made a big difference.
How's the team feeling right now at this point in the season, almost near the halfway point?
We're getting there. You know, we're starting to settle in on what our identity is going to be for the back half. It's a little different than what we thought it might be, but we're starting to understand what we're doing, where our roles are at, and we're trying to focus on that and kind of just polish up what we're going to be at the end of July.
All right, thanks, Coach.
Yep, thanks.
So that was head coach Chris Cofer following the Bucks 12-6 win over Bridgewater last night. Like I said, Elkton defeated Broadway 4-1, and Stewart's Draft defeated Grotto's 15-1. So that's all the scores from last night's games around the RCBL. And taking a look at the standings right now, Broadway, they're still in first place in the Western Division. They've got the lead over the Bridgewater Reds and the Clover Hill Bucks. I don't think anybody expected that. I don't know if you saw the article a few days ago in the Daily News Record. They had a pretty good article about the Bruins and the way they've turn things around. It's really been a phenomenal start to the season for Broadway.
They just seem like they're having fun. Because I know they had a couple years there where it looked like they may not even been a part of the league, I think, a couple years ago. And now it looks like no one can beat them. And they just look like they gel together. The coaching staff is on the sideline pumping each other up. They look like they're having a good time. It's a lot of fun to go out there and watch these Bruins play.
In the Eastern Division, like we said earlier, no team is above 500. Grotto's Cardinals are in first place right now, and then it's the Stewart's Draft Diamondbacks, the Newmarket Shockers, and the Elkton Blue Sox rounding out the Eastern Division. What have you seen from teams in the Eastern Division that you like? What do you think they need to do to kind of turn things around as we're kind of at the halfway point of the season?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the records and it look a little disappointing, but I mean, you look at a team like Newmarket, they've shown they can hit the baseball and score runs. They had back-to-back games, they scored almost 40 runs.
Yeah.
30-something runs.
I think it was 33 runs in two games.
Yeah, so they can hit the ball. Stewart's Draft is Stewart's Draft. They're still dangerous. They still have Ryan Cooper on that team, Jay Thompson. They're still going to be tough the second half of the season. But even a team like Grotto's, you know, they come out, they've had a couple big wins this year. With Elkton, Elkton's got a good pitching staff. I just think the, you know, a couple of their guys, couple of the usual studs of the county league, I think they just got off to a cold start, but if they heat up in the second half, that's anybody's ball game.
Elkton does have a pretty good pitching staff, like you said, and have you gotten a chance to see Chris Locke other than at the All-Star game this weekend?
Yeah, I saw him a couple weeks ago when they played Clover Hill out there, and he matched up with Corey Armantrout, and I think it was a scoreless game going into the seventh inning, and I actually talked to Cody Swisher at the All-Star game, And one of the questions I asked him was, asked him just a few questions, and I'm writing this up right now, but just kind of like get to know you a little bit. And I asked him, who's the toughest pitcher you face this year or over the last year or two? And he mentioned Chris Lalk, that you had to adjust every single at bat against him because he was so good.
I saw him out at Montezuma a few weeks ago. He pitched two innings of relief in that game, only gave up one hit, struck out five batters in two innings. So he's pretty good. And J.J. Locher was talking to me about him before the season, said that he's pretty tall. I don't remember exactly how tall he is, 6'4 at least. He's a tall guy out on the mound.
Yeah, where does he come from? Is he a college kid, high school kid?
I think he's from Metropolitan State University of Denver. Oh. That's where he's listed as being from on the East All-Star team roster. So I don't know if he's still there, if he's graduated, but that's the school that he came from.
Yeah, he's a up and coming rising pitcher here in the league, and I like watching him pitch out there. Him, and you know, they also have Mark Arrington, who's a good pitcher too. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so Elkton, they have a good pitching staff. Still looking for a way to turn the season around as we near the halfway point. We're past the All-Star break, getting close to the halfway point of the season. It's almost July. That's kind of hard to believe. Summer's going by too fast.
I know, you got the minor leagues, All-Star games already gone, the county leagues like half over. You look at Major League Baseball, their All-Star games approaching, and it's, you know, I teach and I'm already looking at, I got like 4 weeks, so I got to get back to school.
Yeah, well, I have to go back to my senior year at Virginia Tech. I don't want that to come yet.
Yeah, it's time flies when you're having fun though.
Yeah. So real quick, any last things to talk about before we sign off for this week's episode of Foul Ball Area? You know, the College World Series has reached their final series now. It's Oregon State versus Arkansas. Game one was supposed to be played Monday night. I think weather pushed it back to Tuesday night. So who do you think is going to win that series?
I'm still sticking with Oregon State. I know Arkansas, watch that guy Blaine Knight, one of their starting pitchers. The Orioles drafted him. The Orioles actually have two picks. They also drafted the Oregon State starting shortstop, Graydon Crenier, or I can't remember his name actually. But you look at Blaine Knight from Arkansas. He came out against Roger Clemenson when they played Texas, and he says, like, there's a video went online. He said, I don't care who he is, I'm going to strike him out. I don't care if he has 20 home runs. I don't care what his last name is. First at bat, he struck him out. But Oregon State, just I think four or five of guys in their starting lineup were drafted in the first round or two in the Major League Baseball draft. So,
wow.
Yeah, I think they got an explosive offense. So it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think the Beavers are going to end up winning it too. Mm-hmm. But it will be a fun series to watch, College World Series going on in Omaha. That'd be a fun one to go to. I know we just had we just did a mic'd up video. We had Tyler Bocock mic'd up during the All-Star game this weekend, and he was telling everyone about a vacation he just went on. He went out west, saw a couple games at Wrigley and Kauffman Stadium, and then he caught a game at the College World Series in Omaha. So that'd be a fun game to go to.
That is a bucket list moment right there.
My dad is almost done with every Major League stadium. He has four more. He's gonna hit them all this summer. But I think after that, I'm gonna convince him, like, you got to get Omaha on your bucket list, and then start hitting some minor league stadiums.
Yeah, I like doing the minor league stadiums. Me and my wife have started the Major League Baseball tour. Our goal is NFL, NBA, and MLB.
Wow.
Actually, it's an extreme goal. But yeah, I like going to the minor league. I think the only minor league stadium in Virginia I haven't been to is the Danville Braves.
Okay.
That's the only one I haven't been to. But yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the coolest bucket list items you can do, is knock off every stadium.
Yeah, definitely a cool bucket list item, one that I'd like to accomplish, but we'll see. That's all we've got for you on this episode of Foul Ball Area. Hopefully we brought you up to speed on everything going on in the RCBL right now. We've got a couple of games tonight, Wednesday night. Elkton is at Clover Hill, Stewart's Draft at Montezuma, and Broadway is at Grotto's. All those games start at 7:30. The Broadway Grotto's game will be the RCBL online game of the week. You can listen to that right here at rcblbaseball.com. And all games, like I said, start at 7:30 tonight at Clover Hill, Montezuma, and Grotto's. Thanks for listening to this episode of Foul Ball Area. Thank you, Nick, for joining me. Until next week, I'm Matthew Atkins.